Welcome to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As many of you know, we are journeying through a series entitled CSI or Christmas Scene Investigation. And we've been talking about the life of Herod. We looked at the life of this king who was disturbed by God. And we've seen this pattern of God literally disrupting, disturbing, causing trouble in the lives of people. And sometimes you think, is that really what Christmas is all about? Well, that's what the Bible says it is. And then we looked at the story of Luke, and we looked at yet another person or group of people that were affected by Christmas. We saw the lives of the Magi previously. We saw the life of Herod. Last week, we saw the life of a priest named Zechariah and the status quo of the season. For hundreds of years, God had not spoken. For hundreds of years, the society had become religious. And for hundreds of years now, there's an infrastructure, a political, religious infrastructure, and yet there was not that presence, that thing we sung about, where they've gotten used to just attending church, so to speak. But there was not that reality of the presence of God moving miraculously in people's lives. And we saw how God moved in the life of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And today we're picking up that story yet further in the same chapter of Luke, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. This is the angel, the same angel that visited Zechariah, is now visiting yet another woman, this time not in the heart of Jerusalem. He's visiting someone in a hick city, in a hick town. This would be in the outskirts. This would be in a provincial area in Nazareth where Galilee is, if you understand the difference, the disparity, which really shows you the way God works. He can work right in the middle of the city amongst the most important of kings and magi and philosophers and doctors and etc. And even the most, the top echelon of religious society. And at the same breath, he can work amongst the midst of the poorest of the poorest, the simplest of the simplest, the ones that are disenfranchised, so to speak. Verse 27 says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. So this is a story of the angel visiting this time, a young woman who's about to get married from a poor side of society, and her name was Mary. If you were to put a subtitle to this message, it would be like if this were a movie, the title of this movie would be, There's Something About Mary. And if this were a movie, this would have three acts. And if you read the scripture, you'll find three very distinct acts in this particular movie. And we're going to look at, first of all, Act 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel of the Lord said to her, greetings, you are highly favored. Think about that word for a minute. An angel, one of God's messengers, goes to this little town, and says to this poor, disenfranchised female, by the way, if you were female in those days, you weren't just disenfranchised, you couldn't do much. You weren't looked upon as somebody who was very useful. In fact, if you had a father and he died, his inheritance, and he didn't have any sons, his inheritance would go to you as the daughter, but yet you really can't do anything about it. You have to marry someone in your tribe to keep that wealth. In other words, there was this huge inequality in those days. And apart from that, they were not really taken seriously. And she was young, poor, young female. And yet God says, you are highly, everybody say highly, not favored, highly favored. Well, that means, you know, everything, what that means to many of us today, what that means is I've got a great career, I've got a great job, I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got great friends, I've got everything, all my ducks in a row, everything's working for me, I'm in the peak of health, so to speak. And yet here the Bible tells us what it really means. When the Bible says you're highly favored, what it really means is the Lord is with you. Now, I need you to understand something here. This is very basic. This is extremely basic in Christianity and faith. Many people think to be highly favored is to have all the trappings of the world's success. To God, what highly favored means is God is with you, which means Not to be favored is simply God is not with you. Is that simple enough? How many of you know the Bible is not very hard to understand? It's actually rather simple. To be highly favored is to have God with you. To not be highly favored simply means God is not with you, which means you may have all the trappings of success. You may have the greatest career in the world. You may have all the money in the world, and God bless you. You may have the greatest cars. You may have all of the greatest. But if God is not with you, you are not highly favored. Do you understand that? Because a lot of people make a mistake here. There's nothing wrong with having a career, by the way. God's not against careers. God's not against health. In fact, He wants to have you have all of that. Just don't make the mistake of thinking that if you have all of that but don't have Him, you're favored. Because you're not. Because this verse says to be highly favored is to have God with you, even though you're from the wrong side of town. Even though you're poor. Even though you're female. And even though you're young. Even though everything is going against you. Some of you are having a hard time with this message. You're wondering, where is he going with this? Now, let me give you an important way of understanding. Which would you choose? To be anything and have everything, but the Lord is not with you? Or to have cars? I mean, and let's be honest. Let's all be honest. I mean, if we weren't believers and we were just ordinary people, if somebody told you, you can settle for religion, you can settle for just going to church, you can tithe, you can do all that, but you're going to have the greatest careers, but the fact of the matter is that's all you have, but God is really not with you. And you could have $1 million, literally today, if you had a choice, which one would you choose? Don't answer me, amen? That's between you and God. But sometimes you have to sit down, and this Christmas is a good moment to think about that, where you don't have the greatest of gifts, not the greatest of vacations, not the greatest of stuff, not have all the bonuses and the money in the world, and yet the promise is God is with you. Another way of looking at it would be investment. Maybe some of you can't handle the illustration, so I'll give you a more simpler illustration. What if somebody said you could have $1 million right now, or nothing? How many of you already made your choice? Okay, in other words, you're going to have $1 million right now or nothing. But if you choose nothing, you will have Warren Buffett will guide you for the rest of your life. Which one would you choose? Someone smart enough. Someone are still holding on to the 1 million. Someone don't know who Warren Buffett is. In other words, if you had a choice, this is what God's saying. You can have, if you didn't have career, you didn't have all the pedigree, nobody knew who you were, you weren't popular, you weren't important, you're not a VIP, you don't eat in the fanciest restaurants, but you have me. Which would you choose? The interesting about God is if you choose Him, you can potentially have all those others. That's actually what he said. It's just a question of the heart. And what if you chose Warren Buffett? You were smart enough to say, yeah, I'm choosing Warren Buffett. It's a smart choice. Why would I take $1 million when Warren Buffett has earned billions of dollars and I can potentially make not 1 million, but $10 million? But then Warren Buffett, so you gave up the $1 million. And Warren Buffett's very first advice to you is give up the opportunity to get $1 million. Somebody offers you now this time because they find out you're Warren Buffett's friend and says, here's $1 million for you, but here's your choice. I'll give you $1 million on the spot or a penny. I don't know if you made your choice again. But this penny, and this is Warren Buffett telling you, this is my advice for you. Give up the $1 million and take the penny because the penny has an ability to double each month. How many of you would choose the $1 million? This is what we do with God. We choose our ways and our things, our short things, rather than choosing God to guide us. And the little pennies that he says that if you will just hold on to that and trust me, I'll double it every month for you, if not every day. Here's what penny looks like if you double it every month. By the eighth month, your 1 cent will be $1.28. Okay, and you know this is a trick question. You know the answer. But you know how this feels, right? If you go 128, it becomes 256. And if you keep going, by the 16th month, it's $327. This would be the equivalent of you giving up the $1 million and holding to your $326 after 16 months while watching your friends enjoying life. That's the equivalent. Where you can't see and you can't trust God and you thought you made the wrong choice. This is the story of Mary, by the way. Highly favored, and we're about to see in Act 2 what that favor looked like. Now, in month 17, you now have $655, and your friends are traveling all over the world and enjoying all their perks while you are still struggling to pay the bills. By month 24, you've got $83,000. And now, at this point, in month 24, your friends have been to Greece, and you've been to Geylang, and been eating at the best places, and you've been eating at the food courts. And then comes month 25, and finally, month 30. And then after you total it all up, because you listened to good advice, you actually have $10 million plus. You made the first right choice, and then you began to listen to the right choices that God gives you that sometimes does not really look as practical, i.e. Mary's life. And the fact of the matter is God's not asking you to invest. He's asking you to believe that he wants to be with you every day of your life. That you would rather make the choice, God is with me. Even though it doesn't look like the greatest of life. Verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered. Sometimes God needs you to wonder. When you lose a sense of wonder, you've actually lost a sense of God. When you can do church every week without wondering anymore about what God can potentially do out of his infinite powers, you're actually losing a part of God. Mary wondered, what is this all about? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. I love this. The greatest event in history is entrusted to a poor woman who has no power. It says something about God, isn't it? That you could be anybody in any situation and God will trust you with the greatest thing in life. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give his throne, him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary said. This is almost impossible. Since I'm a virgin, it's the same words that Zechariah said last week. Zechariah said, how will this be? I'm old. It's too late. Here Mary's saying it's not too late. It's actually a little too early. I'm not even married. She wasn't in doubt. She was just asking a question. Verse 35, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power, and that's the amazing thing that you need to remember about Christmas. Jesus Christ came to earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross, so that you and I can have the power of the Holy Spirit for all of our lives. Don't you ever forget that. That anything and everything is possible with us if we will make the right choice and say, God, I'd rather have your presence, you and your presence, more than anything. Verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing, everybody say nothing, is impossible with God. scene ends there. Mary's walking away and realizing, wow, God is awesome. God is wonderful. I'm favored, highly favored. God is with me. Great things are in store for me. God has great plans for me. God trusts me. And then comes Acts 2. Act 2 is not really a prequel or a sequel or a paraquel, or it's actually what they call a circumquel. Okay, Mary's life revolves around all this. First stop, Mary's about to get married and she has a bridal shower. Okay? And it's canceled because she's pregnant and nobody knows how she got pregnant. Second stop, she has to explain to her husband-to-be what happened. Darling, God got me pregnant. How many of you know that's weird? All right. So this is what it means to be highly favored. Number one, your bridal shower is canceled. If you're a bride-to-be, that's a horror story. To explain to your fiancé that you're pregnant and you have no explanation, that's not a horror story. That's the end of the world. So this is what it means to be highly favored. Okay? If you understand what highly favored means. And then she gets married. For some reason, the angel gives Joseph a dream and marries her still. And then she wakes up with a baby. And now CNN says they're fugitives. The king and his army is hunting them down. How many of you like to be favored by God? This is what it meant to be highly favored. And they escape this. They run and hide and somehow manage to get to Egypt and they survive. And they come back and the child grows steadily, wisely. And he goes and they bring him to the temple. And he begins to speak. And as they were going home, they realize they've left him behind. So they come back for him, and as they come back for him and say, why did you let this happen to us? I mean, why? Do you know how scared we are? Do you know what it means to lose a child? And instead of saying, I'm sorry, mommy, I'm sorry, daddy, he says, did you know I'm about to be my father's? Basically, what he said was, you're not even my real father and my mother. Sometimes we don't understand the favor of God. Not only the favor of God, highly favored by God. And then he gets popular, does his seminars. He's now a trainer of sorts. And she wants to attend the seminar and wants to get a free ticket. And she's asking the usher if she could be let in. And he says, who is my mother and my brothers? That's Act 2. Act 3 tells us how you survive being highly favored. What does a one do when you're faced with God's presence and yet the world's not working quite the way you want it? Most people will give up their faith. But the Bible, thankfully, gives us a song that Mary speaks about. She said, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. How do you survive knowing you're highly favored and yet life's not working the way you want it to work? First of all, you've got to learn how to magnify the Lord. That word magnifies, my soul glorifies the Lord. What that means is you magnify the wrong things. There's two ways you can magnify something. You can use a microscope and magnify a small thing to become a big thing. You can take a germ and make it the horror story of a monster. The other way to magnify something is you use a telescope. You look at something that's far beyond, and you bring it closer to you. It's like a big star, a big planet, a mountain. That as closer as it gets to you, the more glorious, the more amazing, the more wonderful it becomes. Unfortunately, most of us live by the microscope. We microscopically try to make small things really bigger than they are, whether that's our problems, our situations, the devil, or our issues with our marriages, rather than really magnifying the Lord and looking beyond and saying, God, I want you to get closer, for you are with me. The second thing she did was, my spirit rejoices in God. Basically, what she's saying is, I'm not just magnifying the Lord, I'm finding joy in God because He is my Savior. He saves me. Not just saves me, he saves me even though I'm nobody. I really don't deserve this. And yet he chooses. But by the way, the day you don't remember that God is not, you don't deserve being saved, is the day you miss the point. But when you realize that you don't deserve it, here's the difference between a child and an employee. Many of you are going to get bonuses this year. How many of you know when your boss comes to you, calls you and sets you down in the office, and you say, here's your bonus? How many of you don't stand up and jump up and down? After, if you 5-10 years of that, you realize he really owes you that. Are you here? But when you're nobody, and he calls you in and says, I want to give you not just a bonus, I want you to become my child. How many of you know that causes you to rejoice, to magnify and rejoice the Lord? When you forget who you are and who God is, you lose that sense of joy. For behold, now, on all generations, I'll be called blessed. In other words, it's about my performance. I don't have to even worry how life's going to look like generations from now because I don't even have to perform. I just have to get a revelation that God is glorious and he's huge and he's majestic and he loves me and he cares about me. And I can find joy in that. Magnify the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. But what do you do when after all that's said and done, and after all the magnifying of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, your life literally ends with the very thing you believed for, believed in, actually dies. Not just dies, dies in your arms. Not just dies in your arms, but everybody else is left, and you're left holding the bag, so to speak. It's a tough place to be. When I think of Mary's life, I start wondering, how do you survive that? The song tells us how. He has helped his servant Israel, a perspective that's larger than me. It's that perspective of knowing forever. He has helped his servant forever, Israel, to Abraham and his offspring forever. The idea of forever is such an important part of magnifying the Lord. That our lives, this life, as great as it is, I'm extremely grateful for my life. There's not a day that I don't wake up that I thank God for all that he's done in my life. But as great as this life is, I look to eternity. I look to greater things ahead. I want to close by showing you a good picture of eternity. If this was your life, if this was a picture of your life, if this was a picture of my life, then I was born in 1957. When I was 10 years old, that left. That piece of my life's gone. Okay? And now, at 30 years old, that's gone. How many of you know that's worrying? When you're 40, that's gone. When you're 50, that's gone. I'm 59. So I'm right about somewhere there or somewhere here. I don't want to cut too much, amen? How do you rejoice? How do you magnify the Lord when it looks like that? You got to understand forever. Because forever is not that. Forever is this. It's longer than that. It's Israel. She said, from Israel, from Abraham's time, from Moses, from Joshua, from Samuel to David to it, forever, 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 forever. It's longer than that. When you start looking at this, it's depressing. But when you start looking at this and say, God gave me eternal life forever. then it's that one penny that becomes worth billions. And then you realize it's not even that, it's this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. It's endless. It changes your perspective, doesn't it? It doesn't matter if I have PR or ER or ERSP, whatever it is. Because it's about forever. Magnify the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord forever. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Merry Christmas, Father. Look up here for a minute. The greatest thing that's ever happened to you is not Warren Buffett guiding you. It's God guiding you. Not as a boss, not as a guide. As a father. As a father. He wants you sitting on his lap. He wants you taking walks with him. He wants you not just going to church. He wants to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year, for all eternity. Don't get too busy, distracted. Don't ever think that to be highly favored is anything other than God with you. Emmanuel. The greatest joy, the greatest privilege, the greatest honor you could ever have in your life. Amen? Would you just lift up your hands towards heaven? God, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the message that you love us. And in that, Lord, we magnify you. We glorify you. And in that, Lord, we rejoice in the Lord always and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, please visit everynation.org.sg.